Hi, welcome on today's Bloomfield in Focus. This is Danny Walsh, your Township Supervisor, and I'm going to be talking roads today with our Director of DPW, Noah Mahalski, and the Road Commission for Oakland County's Deputy Managing Director, Gary Petrovich. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for joining me.
Great. Hello.
Great. So let's start with, I know quite a few people are already familiar with you, Noah. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us about where you came from.
I'm Noah Mahalski. I'm the Director of Public Works here at Bloomfield Township. I've been an employee of the township for over 15 years here, all the time in the DPW department and various kind of divisions coming up. I got a degree from Michigan State University in resource development. Also have some training in meteorology, and my brother is a meteorologist, actually. So
that helps me a lot. People ask me, how do you figure out when you're going to shut down or what to do? I call Noah at 2 in the morning. That's who I call.
Yeah, in addition to me having some meteorology training, basically dabble in meteorology, I again have my resource, my brother, to reach out to. And then 4 of my staff have some meteorology training as well.
And that definitely helps, because I know it's really customary, unfortunately, for a lot of us to just look out our window and think, well, it's not bad here. It can't be bad elsewhere. But we consider we have 300 employees that have to drive here from all over, sometimes over an hour away. We have all of our residents that we want to keep safe as well. Those decisions have to be made usually well before 5 a.m. So Noah gets my constant calls and texts, what do you think? And I appreciate that, because I'm sure you'd rather be resting.
Well, in most cases, we've been out, throughout the storm. In our case, the kind of the snow has to fall before we can plow it to some extent. So it's important. I have very limited staff, and the time they can be out on the roads is kind of controlled by the government. And so I have to kind of broker their time and be strategic in how we kind of respond to a storm.
Yeah, and I think as Michiganders, it's been a while. I know it's been 52 years in the township. I usually will hear people say we've never gotten this much snow. And I do remember walking to school uphill one way, not both ways. But we absolutely got way more snow than we do now. I mean, by October, we were wearing Halloween costumes with snow parkas. So I know it's been a while since we've had much winter weather, but I do appreciate that you take our safety into effect. And it's not the snow usually, it's actually the ice that really causes a lot of our damage and our accidents.
Certainly, and the weather is changing a little bit, and I think in the future we're going to have more of those borderline type events where ice will be one of the major hazards out there, as opposed to 12 plus inches of snow for this region. That's not to be expected on any frequency, really.
Right. And then Gary, thank you for joining us today. Go ahead and introduce yourself. If you could explain, who you are, where you're from, and also a little bit about the Road Commission as well.
Sure. Thank you, Danny. Appreciate you having me here today. First of all, I was born and raised in Oakland County, so I'm a longtime Oakland County resident. Went to Michigan State University, go green.
Both of you. Yeah. I'm surrounded by green and white. Go blue.
Absolutely. Went off to consulting work after college and worked Federal Highway Administration, and found my way back to the Road Commission for Oakland County. I've been in various positions over almost 27 years with the Road Commission now.
And I was lucky to meet you through our SAD processes along the way. But you have been a godsend over the last few years, because obviously we have, about 270 miles of neighborhood roads that we partner with. And then also you obviously handling all of the main roads. But with SAD process kind of blowing up all over, you have been a constant resource. And I appreciate that you don't block my calls. but I appreciate that partnership. But that goes long before I started here. When did this partnership happen or start?
So the administration in the township made a play at the state level to begin this process in the 70s. And the uniqueness of this process is that we actually get reimbursed with Act 51 money based on the changes that were made to the law back then. And the partnership has grown out of that.
Great. Wow. And you helped me realize that we are the only township in the state that has an official road department based on the state. And I think that's where some of the confusion lies, is usually you're able to say, well, cities and villages own the roads, they maintain the roads. But as a township, it does get a little confusing since we do have that road department. But I know that personally as a resident, I appreciate it because it does hold that higher standard that we want in our neighborhoods as well. Gives you time to handle all the main roads and also the SAD process, which is most of our year, special assessment districts. But it also is nice that you're out there also helping with paving and or not doing full on paving, but potholes and cape sealing and everything. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you do allow us to do in the neighborhoods before it gets to an SAD level?
I think I'll defer to Norm.
Yeah, so okay. Much of the surface maintenance that we do on the roadways is authorized by the permit. So what am I talking about there? I'm talking about pothole filling, maintenance overlays, which we have a pavement preservation program within the township for those, emergency drain cleanout, emergency tree removal. We brought that to bear during the last storm. There were over 100 trees that were down on both our roadways and Maine County roadways. And, you know, we can't plow the snow until we've gotten those trees out of the way. So those kind of emergency functions, then just recognizing that we can put 12 more bodies out on those local roadways a day or two before the county could get out there.
Okay. And then you also kind of take it even further where we'll do overlays sometimes, but that's, I think you call it the Band-Aid. It's only a few years to get us to the point where they have time to go to that special assessment district level. And in a township, we as residents, since we don't pay city level taxes that help with the roads, we do have the funding. I believe you mentioned it came in 2017 that helped you with getting a lot of the roads up. But if you want to talk about that process and then maybe a little bit about the SAD process as well.
First of all, I'll just talk quickly about the 2017, it was 2015 law by the state that added a new road funding to the all across the state, which was way behind and long overdue. But that really was a focus on the primary roads. That's what that is. Okay. And so we a lot of our major roads, we talked the Maple Roads, your Inkster's, your Franklin's, those types of roads, Corton Roads, the ones that you saw. You've seen a lot of overlays over the last few years. We promised we'd put that money to work. I think you can see it out there. It's hard to drive a road that we haven't done something to in the last 4 or 5 years. We've gone from 75% of our roads across the county in fair to poor shape to reversing that to 75% in fair or good shape. So there's been a significant improvement, and we made the difference. Now, certainly inflation and a number of other things are cutting into that now. We expect to top that out in the next few years. So we're looking to working with our legislators to say, hey, we got some money. We did what we were going to say we were going to do with it. Let's continue this process. We don't want to go back. There's been an awful lot of effort and work put into getting us to this point. Let's not go the wrong direction now. So that's certainly something we've been very proud of and a lot of what we've done the last few years, but that doesn't get into our subdivisions, which you touched on, our special assessment districts. There's a specific statutory requirements that we have to follow in subdivisions in order to do a special assessment districts, and that's the way they're funded in Michigan and in township roads in Michigan. So as you briefly mentioned, a lot of cities have major road funding millages that pay for those types of streets to be done. At the road commission level, we don't have that ability to make any millages. So we look to the special assessment district to get those roads done.
And those are roads that they're beyond repair. They're beyond our level of, I know some people will say, well, you're just keep filling the pothole. We want a new road. And that is a totally different level that goes from us filling those, putting on some Band-Aids, going to fully an SAD is ripping up the road and starting over. The overlays, those give us how many years?
5 years is typically the rule of thumb. If it's a low traffic, decent shape roadway, you might get a few more years out of it, but typically rule of thumb is up to 5 years out of an overlay. And that's because you're not touching the base of the road, which is the real reason the pavement's failing is the base underneath. It's really literally a Band-Aid for that roadway.
And I can't remember if it was you or Sam or one of the other engineers that mentioned, by the time we see something on the road, there's something much larger below. So yeah, the overlay, when you say Band-Aid, is you're stopping the bleed, but there's still something brewing below. And that's when we go with these special assessment districts. That's when you come in and figure out what the new best route is. And also the way, I'm sure a lot has changed in the way you put down roads and the way you treat roads, with materials have probably changed over the years, the way you actually aim the water off the road instead of flat. Do you want to each kind of take a chance at what you've changed now versus the past when
Well, it's definitely a group or a career that's in flux. And really, I have a couple change agents that are in my group that kind of force us that way. And when I talked about that means and methodologies, the mixes for the asphalt or the concrete have changed over the years. The ability to get work done or the practices out there when they're constructing a road, we hope they're getting better, but they have changed over the years, right? And then even just the materials that we're putting down have evolved, and that's both from a cost perspective, from an environmental standpoint and a regulation perspective, and just a usefulness perspective. And when I talk about that, I talk about adding liquids to the solid rock salt to bring the temperature of effectiveness down. Additionally, you know, we're not immune from the push and pull factors that are the economy that we're going through right now. So supply chain issues, availability of equipment, and just new paradigms for that in the industry.
And do you do any new training? Because you mentioned with the liquids, I know I got in recent storms people saying, why are you salting? It's below 20 degrees. It's not useful. And although that was the older mantra, those of us who do treat it differently, it does lower. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, the advent of liquids and even things like adding carbohydrates or sugars to the chloride mixtures to get it to stick down on the pavement, which is something you might not intrinsically kind of make the connection, but that's why ours is a darker material coming out. Additionally, those chlorides, adding them and getting the salt kind of primed to go into effectiveness. The salt only works when it's in a solution, and if you have very cold temperatures where solutions aren't being made, then that's where the effectiveness of the salt goes down. So we can add just liquid salt back into the salt, and that drives the temperature of effectiveness down. So that's kind of something that's at the forefront. Farmington Hills has a major program, but a lot of people throughout the state, even the county, has a pretty extensive program. You have a brine well, and that augments that as well.
Yeah, and adding on to what Noah's saying there, unique for us at the road commission, we have three what we call brine wells. So we pump the brine right out of the ground a couple thousand feet down, go get it, pull it up. So we get it at a greatly reduced cost because we're not buying it. Privately, we get all we want, and it's really some of the highest quality you can get out there. So, excuse me, it's very important to us because we use it not only for the winter to help us battle these storms, allows us to hit the salt out of the spinners. We actually, as it's coming out of the spinners, we're hitting it with this brine, which activates the salt quicker. Gets it to stick to the road, makes it work better at lower temperatures. All that's good stuff. We can pre-wet with it as well before a storm gets there, which helps us. And then for us, in the big pieces, we have almost 700 miles of gravel roads here in this county, which a lot of people don't believe that, being they think of us as an urban county, but we have a lot of gravel roads, and we use that for dust control in the summer. Right. So we're continually use those brine wells continually to help us. It's one of the unique things we have here in Oakland County that really helps us fight it, do things at a reduced cost, actually more efficiently than other counties can do it.
And really, those gravel roads, those are all seasons. You're dealing with rain with causing potholes, snow causing issues, dryness with dust. I know we do have a few in our area that, although we'd love to make them paved, the area, the people in that area do not want it and request that it stays gravel. Yeah, we've all approached it with them.
We have 37 miles of gravels out there, and some of them are actually protected by regulate the natural beauty roads or couple within the township. So even the efforts you can, and let's be clear, they are unimproved gravel roadways, right? So that is a loaded kind of term.
For those that you can put asphalt out on it or even concrete, what are some of the new things that you've noticed? I know from a layman's term, it always felt like they were much flatter, and now, although we don't do drainage, when you're adding them in, you're aiming the water off the road, which might help extend the length of the road or lifetime.
Well, and what we like to say in the road business is there's three things that are important to a road: drainage, and drainage.
Okay.
So when you get that right, then the road generally holds up pretty well. So there's always new things, how we're directing the water, how we're holding the water in areas, the subgrade. We have a lot of people don't see under the roads. We have a lot of drainage type of fabric and material and drainage that goes under the road that helps pull water away and helps keep the roads dry. So it's much more, the recipe of a road, how you build it up, is pretty complex now. You're not just putting dirt down, as they say, and asphalt or concrete over it. There's very specific types of mixes, excuse me, on the gravel and various thicknesses of each one, and everything's kind of engineered out. And those are national research projects that are always going on, and they continue to improve those materials and how we test those materials. We're always looking at different ways to make sure we're getting the right amount, the right type of materials. And the one thing that a lot of people don't understand too is the gravel pits keep changing. We get this from when, as you go deeper in the gravel pits, you just don't continue to get the same gravel. It changes slightly. And that constant change is something we're often chasing a lot. You know, the recipe may be somewhat the same, but as the gravel keeps changing, or the pits we get them from change, as we dig down further into the earth, changes how we have to deal with them. So it's much more complex than it appears on the surface.
I did not realize that. Some of the other things that might come up, too, that people wonder is, in today's world, we still talk about college and military, but we very rarely are teaching children that there's skilled trades, police, fire, water, sewer, and public services. How has it been with staffing in these areas? I know we have trouble finding even water resources. How are you finding people, and what happens when we aren't able to find all the CDL drivers we need, or the people to go work on the roads? How are you finding people?
Relentless action on it. I was doing interviews for a road operator before I came to this show. So I think you just got to keep on it. I do think there is a generational shift with this type of work, and I literally have asked people if they know the difference between a straight head and a Phillips head screwdriver, and they are unable to tell me at this point. And that's new. That's not something. I was brought up different, and certainly we're not going to be able to change the workforce to meet the demands of the job, so we're going to have to somewhat change, you know, our expectations or our training regimens to get the people to where we need to be. So,
right.
Yeah, I want to specifically touch on that. It's a great point, and then go back a step and see what we're doing in that area. But we have maps, a lot of things for how we, during storms, and how we handle things, and we found out the new wave of our employees are a little more difficult to understanding what maps are. They're not used to reading them like they used to in the old days.
Right.
So it's a way we have to change and evolve, and how we present material to them and what we give to them now has to be in a different context for them to understand it better. So that's something we're learning as we go as
that
well.
That's true. They've grown up with garments and ways.
Right. And north and south and east don't make a lot of sense to them anymore, right, type of thing. So these are things we have to change in how we train them. But additionally, in the old days, when I started about the old days, you started to get here a while and you started talking about the old days, I guess. When I first was here, we'd generally have 15 to 20 positions a year in the CDL area, truck driver area, that we'd open up in a year, and we'd hire them. We'd kind of save them up and hire them all in the fall before winter type of thing. We'd get 100 to 150 applications, all high quality typically, that we'd have to narrow that down. These last 2 years, we've needed 15 to 20, even more than that, because we're seeing more of an exodus, and we get zero, one or two applications now. It's a completely different area. And so what we've had to do is we've actually gone out and have to train our drivers. We were just taking general folks we hope have some construction experience, train them as a CDL driver, and then bring them in. So we're paying to bring, you know, to get these people up to CDL. So they're coming in now. They're brand new truck drivers. They're not truck drivers that we teach for winter maintenance.
Right.
They're brand new truck drivers, and then we have to teach them to drive trucks and then do the winter maintenance. So it's a lot more difficult than it used to be. It's inherent in the business, and we're not the only ones. As Noah mentioned, everybody around is in the same boat. We're all looking for the same things, and it's just a generation difference that's out there now. It's just not looked to as to be a job they want to take anymore.
Or they may not even know about it. That
right.
seems to be a frustration that I run into is I have a lot of cousins that don't know what they want to do with their life, and I'm thinking there are great options that you don't even know about because nobody's telling them. So if you have children that aren't sure what they want to do, roads, water, electricians, inspectors, there's so many jobs within the public sector that if you're not part of it, if your family members don't tell you about it, most people don't even know. We run into that even with engineers, which you might run into. When we posted for our Department of Environmental Engineering director, I got a lot of automotive engineers, aerospace engineers, and they're like, but we're engineers. And I said, yes, but I wouldn't go to a foot doctor for my heart doctor. So still different. So I'm sure, you know, we're having the operators here, but you also have the staffing of engineers. Because when we think SADs, a lot of people wonder, well, what takes so long? Why? I already gave our expression of interest. Why is our sub waiting? And that's because you have a whole staff of engineers that need to design roads as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a number of technicians, engineers on staff, and we Where we needed, we bring in consultants to help with that as well, but we have anywhere from 40 to 70 active special assessment districts going at any time. And each one of those has, statutorily, has at least, you know, 8 to 10 steps, in addition to others we add in to help the process be a little more transparent to the public. So it's a lot of work to go out and survey all these areas, to go look at all the roads, go through them all. If it doesn't go through, they have to reevaluate everything. The roads change, people change driveways, they change a lot, the drainage changes in areas. So we have to continually make sure we're up to date. Whenever, even when we have to go back and quote redesign one, there's a lot more work to that than people think. And it's, otherwise, if we don't do that, then it ends up being extra costs that get tacked on later and down. So we like to be as good as we can up front to make sure we cover everything.
Well, in addition to the amount of actual applications coming in, I'm sure you can also verify the size of the application coming in is different. I remember as a trustee, it was maybe five houses here, maybe 13 houses. Now we had 1,000 houses that we had to divide up into five different. So you have only 5 applications, but it's now for 1,000 houses. So I don't know if you've noticed that as well, but there's a lot more that are coming.
Yeah, and certainly that's multifaceted as well, because if we take out, for instance, Kirkway, which was one that was just done last year, that's a main priority road for us, right? So now that road, basically, we don't have to do any pothole patching on, because there's no potholes. In addition, you know, indicative of the partnership, we're going to go in there and we're going to joint seal those roadways to protect our residents' investment going forward on the roadways. So, you know, not only does it show that our residents care about their road, ways, right? They've obviously put in the big portion to have it funded. We care about the roads because for two reasons, it gets off our list and then we can protect it rather easily with a joint sealing operation, right? And then we get more longevity out of it. And you kind of expand that to a location like the Village. That takes large swaths off of our list so we can kind of put the love throughout the rest of the township and we get a, you know, one of those larger roadways and systems off of our kind of critical list. So.
And that's something I'd like each of you to touch on too is people often say, well, how are you even picking these roads? Well, we don't. We let the politicians stay out of it. So our board doesn't get involved. Oakland County's board typically doesn't get involved. So how is it? You have engineers and you have specialists that tell us. So for the neighborhood and for the main roads, how do you determine which road gets fixed?
Well, on the main roads, one of the primary is our number one goal out of this time is safety. So we're looking at safety. We're looking at safety data. You know, what's the time? What roads are we having the most problems on? What roads are going to benefit the most from a resurfacing? Volumes are a big piece too. You know, what are the higher volume roads are the ones we're going to want to hit first for sure. We try to do it smartly, as we say. I don't want to leave a small gap somewhere. Let's take a corridor and get it done so it doesn't become we did this road, miss that road, and do the next. Try to fill in the gaps. Make sure we're looking at those things. And we also look for, in many cases, certain roads are real important to the locals across the county, and they're willing to throw some extra money to get a road done. They want to say, hey, if I throw some more money, can we get this road done earlier? And that's certainly helpful. Helps us leverage our money to get more roads done. So we look to that as well. But safety is, you know, the core, right off the top. Take the politics, take all that out of it. We want to get, you know, the safety is the most important thing to us. And I'll throw this in as I have the opportunity when we mentioned safety. But when you drive in Oakland County, you're driving in the safest roads in the country. Our fatality rate's half the state national average, which is almost unheard of out there. So as we say, if you put those into some real numbers, there's about, you know, 65, 70 families every year that a loved one comes home. That if we were just an average county or an average road commission, they wouldn't come home. So those are real numbers, mean real things, and that's why our folks are, you know, if they take the stuff personally, just, you know, the passion that in this business, and I think that's when people get into the business. You talk about it's hard to explain our business, but once we're in the business, there's a lot of passion from our employees, and I think that's what keeps them going at 4 a.m. or 2 a.m. when you get the phone calls, or when you get that phone call on Christmas morning, you got kids opening presents, and you get presents, and you got to go out and plow a road. No, those are tough things for our employees, but they, you know, they see the importance of that, and that's that passion is what keeps them going.
You are right. I used to comment that the first couple years that I was here as supervisor, it seemed like snow only fell on Sundays and holidays, especially Christmas and New Year's Day.
Or Super Bowl.
Right, yes, or Super Bowl. That's always. Right. It was never Monday through Thursday. It was almost always on a Sunday or a holiday. And you mentioned safety, and there's something that you do rate the roads on, a PACER rating. How often, how do you split the county to determine the safety? Is that what the PACER ratings are for?
Safety is a data. Quality? Yeah, safety is a data oriented. We from the police reports and other information we have that we pull into it. But there's also PACER ratings is a term we use to define how good the road condition of the road. Okay. So we do half the county each year. We go through and we rate. We have people drive the roads. There's multiple people. It's a very strict process because it goes through all the way up through our local governments, all the way to the Federal Highway Administration, and they take a, so it's equal across the state and the country how they do it. So they take a look at it and say, so we can have some kind of idea from an asset management perspective. You know, where are our good roads and where are our poor roads and what state are they in? Where, because certain types of fixes work better at certain conditions of the road, and other work better at other conditions of the road. So that's every year. So it gives us a good idea of where we're at with how we know that our roads are getting better with the money we use, because we're looking at it every year and we can see the improvement out there.
I know we use the PACER in here. I know you've talked, I overhear him a lot, and and I do pick some of the way that I hear you answer questions. I try and deflect also as well. You mentioned, or some people will call in and say, well, why is my road lower on the list this year? And I know you've said every year it could go up or down depending on the weather that hit that specific portion. I know some people don't realize we have, what, about a 200-foot elevation between the low and the high end. I can tell you we not only get more rain in the low end, but we get everybody's rain coming. So ours do tend to age. I feel that ours are a little bit more aged, but in all of the areas, people often say, how does Noah pick the roads then? What's his formula?
So again, one of my key tenets would be to try to stay out of it, right? And so it is a dynamic process. And my road foreman and my staff who are out there day to day, they're the primary kind of generators of the data going forward. We'll use PACER ratings, we'll use complaints, right? Because those are indicative of a condition out there. But generally, we rely on this running list. And basically where the red line ends up on that list, that's where our funding level is for the year. And then things move below or above that line. And kind of your point, spring breakup on the roadways can change things significantly between what's a good road and a bad road for us. Our mantra is the worst of the worst. A lot of times residents don't see all of our roads. That's why it's important to bring the staff and the people who are on them all the time in, you know, because everybody's kind of perception is going to be that their road is the worst, or a lot of people are going to be kind of think they're on that bottom half when really some of the roadways are literally turning back to gravel here in Bloomfield Township. Right. And that's indicative of the tools in our toolbox, our preservation methods. Once you get past a certain point on the roadways, where it's alligatored into pieces like that, our preservation methods are not going to be effective, right? That's where you get, where you would try to get a 5-year Band-Aid, you're only going to get one or two because the roadway is just beyond that. So our level of service is kind of takes all those things into account. But there's any given time, there's 10 or 12, right? With other work going on in the area, right? We try to avoid conflicts with that and or get out of there if they're going to be doing other work. And we, God forbid, we'd want work being done after we've come in and replaced a roadway as well. So safety, huge concern as well for us, pothole, you know, reports, that type of stuff, underlying sinkholes, that type of stuff would move it up to a critical kind of category as well.
And you've touched on funding earlier. Unless the state and the federal government increase our funding for county roads, this is the process that we have currently. If there is anybody you want to give us names or phone numbers of who we as residents can call at the state or the federal level in particular that you think could help push that along?
Call your legislators. We say everybody's got a local legislator, call them. The number of times to hear from the road agencies is one thing. To hear from the public is a whole different.
Right.
Because we'll go up to them and they'll say, we're not hearing anything from the public. Of course, you want more money. You're the road agency. So it's really the public that has more say with their legislators and more can really garner that more respect, I think. And that's what we want them to do. Make them aware of the situation. It's important to you. It's important for safety in your neighborhood when you're walking around or when you're driving and things. And they'll listen. They'll listen. They've listened before. They'll listen again. We just need to stay on them.
They will. And I know they reach out to us whenever the residents do respond. And I always tell people, please, additionally, let your legislators know. We have 5 different Congress people here representing us now. So I would say reach out to our clerk's office and they can tell you if it's, we have Samantha Steckloff, Donnie Steele. We have Natalie Price, Noah Arbit, and Shannon McDowell. We also have Senator Moss, who is our senator. At the federal level, we have Gary Peters and we have Haley Stevens. They are all assets. You just need to figure out which one covers your area because we have so many. So again, you can reach out to the clerk's office and they can let you know who to contact. But they are all receptive and they already hear from Noah and I and from Gary. So if you could join that cause, that'll hopefully get us more funding for these township roads. I want to thank you guys so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'll just say one more thing as we finish up here. There's a term that we coined kind of through COVID called pre-responders. And we just wanted to throw that out there, that the folks who work on these roads, we talk about first responders, but we're the pre-responders that are out there helping them to get to their place. So we'd like to say, just a shout out to all of our employees and both in your employees as well as ours across all the roads that do so much work in a very difficult situation.
I like that. I've never heard pre-responders. I like that.
Agree.
Well, thank you, Noah, and thank you, Gary, for joining me. And thank you, everybody, for watching again. This has been Bloomfield in Focus, and we'll see you next time.